BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on BCY America. Just before we introduce our topic today, in follow-up to our conversation yesterday with Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel, we spoke a lot about the Texas suit being filed against some of these battleground states like Pennsylvania and Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan. Well, since that time, we got off the air yesterday, and at first we just, when we started the program, states were just saying, yeah, we're backing this, but now they have actually joined in into the lawsuit. 18 states now have joined Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's lawsuit in the U.S. Supreme Court challenging the election procedures in Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin on the grounds that they violate the Constitution, Matt Staver reports. In addition to Texas, the 18 states joining the lawsuit, Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia. 17 states joined together on one amicus brief, and Arizona filed its own separate motion to file an amicus brief. So you have some 19 states now that are challenging the election procedures in the four defendant states. The combined total of 19 states equates to 38% of the states contesting the election results as a direct consequence of what transpired in those four battleground states. We understand that just as this program is beginning today, was the deadline for the four states to give their response to the lawsuit. And I'm sure that there's going to be more information this time, even tomorrow, as to whether or not that did take place or not. But a number of states now joining suit against these four battleground states. A very contested election. Friends, do not stop praying in regard to this election and the outcome of this election, which is still pending. We are going to have a feature on Crosstalk today that we pulled out a few months ago. Several months ago, I think it was around June or so, we did a program called What in the World? Now, I remember a phrase, that phrase growing up, when after you hear something that's perhaps outrageous, maybe it's angering, maybe even disgusting. And today on the program, I'm going to be sharing a series of stories with you that no doubt will invoke a similar response of what in the world? You know, what were you thinking? What did you do? Why did you take that action? How could this come about? And that phrase, what in the world? Well, today I have one of those segments again because there have been so many things coming. And I pulled these things out from our news roundup for tomorrow because there are so many things and they're just outrageous. What is taking place? It causes one to ask the question, what in the world? And friends, we're going to be taking a look at some of these here today on Crosstalk. And maybe you've got a different reaction than I do. But I tell you, it's disappointing. In some cases, it's angering. And in many of these, it is absolutely outrageous, some of the matters that are going on. For instance, we're going to begin with a story out of the state of Michigan. We have a Michigan state representative. Her name is Cynthia Johnson. She gave a warning on Tuesday of this week, just 48 hours ago, after attending evidently it was a hearing that was going on pertaining to vote fraud. And she is actually calling on, quote, the soldiers, to make them pay. She's calling for people on the left to make them pay. She's a Democratic state lawmaker. She delivered a threat to supporters of President Trump on Facebook Live. She prefaced her warning saying, I could be talking to you all in a private room, but we're public. And then she goes forth to make her statements. What did she say? Now, listen to this. This is coming from a state legislator, Michigan State Representative Cynthia Johnson.
So this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. Enough of the shenanigans. Enough is enough. And for those of you who are soldiers. You know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay. I love y'all. Bye-bye.
Do it right, soldiers. Make them pay. Love you. I mean, what in the world? You know, that's what I said when I heard this thing. As we have the state representative that is calling on the soldiers on the left to make them pay. This is a threat that is coming. And it is a state legislator from Michigan that is doing this. Now, friends, you know that this would be on the front of every newscast across this nation had this been on the other side of the aisle. Well, yesterday, Wednesday, the Michigan House Speaker Lee Chatfield announced that Johnson now has been stripped of her committee assignments in response to her threats. She happened to be the vice chairman of Michigan's House Oversight Committee. They held a hearing. It was led by the Republican majority on the claims of vote fraud. And the House Speaker Lee Chatfield said this: threats to Democrats and Republicans are unacceptable and un-American. They're even more unbecoming of an elected official. Chatfield said in a statement, Representative Johnson has been stripped of her committees and we're looking into further disciplinary action as the proper authorities conduct their investigations, and rightly so. But how outrageous, folks. I want you to listen one more time to what she had to say.
So this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. Enough of the shenanigans. Enough is enough. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay. I love y'all. Bye-bye.
Make them pay. What in the world? Friends, as I also looked at Newsbusters today, they report that since the November 3rd election, many TV journalists have been issuing ugly calls for vengeance and accountability against not just President Trump himself, but also his administration, even his supporters. MSNBC political analyst Jason Johnson had this advice for Biden, quote, "You cannot come into the White House with the idea that these people," referring to Republicans, "are not the enemy. They are." That same week, media commentator and former Navy officer Malcolm Nance said this on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher about the Americans who voted for Trump, quote, "These people have revealed themselves for the racist that they are, for the tribalist that they are." Over the course of several evenings in mid-November, CNN's Chris Cuomo issued a series of threats and warnings against so-called enablers of President Trump. November 11th, he declared, quote, "Shame on them. A wax museum is less cold-blooded than these people are, and let them know they are going to lose way more than this election." What's he referring to? Just 5 days later, Cuomo offered this rebuttal to those who had accused him of targeting political opponents. Yeah, you are being targeted, but not because you're victims, because you're victimizing the rest of us. November 27th, former ESPN and MSNBC host Keith Olbermann wished for enough Trump administration people in prison that they could hold reunions and birthday parties. He continued to say this, quote, and I'm going to leave out the expletive that he had in his quote, but he said, "We want the prisons so filled with Trumps and Trump's flunkies and Trump apologists and Trump enablers that we have to convert Trump buildings into Trump prisons." What in the world? Let's move on to another issue. From LifeNews.com, depravity knows no bounds in the abortion industry. This Christmas, it appears that the staff of late-term abortionist Leroy Carhart are having fun making a mockery of Christ's birth by decorating an office Christmas tree with abortion tools. A photo shared on Twitter shows sofer clamps on top of the tree in substitute for the traditional star. You see, Carhart runs abortion facilities in Maryland and Nebraska. "It is literally impossible to top our topper," Anthony wrote, including the hashtags hashtag pro-abortion, hashtag abortions, and hashtag Christmas. You see, this sofer clamp is a grasping instrument. It's got rows of sharp teeth on it that typically is used to abort unborn babies between 12 and 24 weeks of pregnancy, according to a former abortion provider, Dr. Anthony Levitino. Action that the Sofra clamp is used to grasp and pull the baby's arms and legs, tearing the limbs from the child's body in a dismemberment abortion. Folks, isn't that what King Herod tried to do? He sought to kill Jesus by killing all the children, toddlers, under age 2? And here we have now an abortionist and his clinic staff making sacrilegious a Christmas tree with forceps, replacing the angel or star at the top of the tree with instruments that are used to rip innocent human life apart. And again, I ask the question, what in the world? Now, friends, it doesn't stop there as well, because we see what is going on in the state of Georgia with the running of this election here to determine who is going to have control over the U.S. Senate by who wins this January 5th election in the state of Georgia. And so we have Senator Kelly Loeffler and her Democratic challenger in one of the two pivotal Georgia Senate races there, the runoff. They're on a debate stage in Atlanta on Sunday. But the contrast in their views on abortion was on full display. Loeffler twice accused Raphael Warnock. Now, he is the supposed pastor of the Atlanta Ebenezer Baptist Church. And she accused him of using the Bible to justify abortion. Without drawing a reaction until the moderator, Fox 5 Atlanta's Russ Spencer, pressed him to respond to the abortion issue in particular. And I'd like you to hear what was said by this pastor, Raphael Warnock.
But he's also used the Bible to justify abortion. I cannot stand by and let Georgians not know who my opponent is, how radical his views are. I'm not going to be lectured by someone that uses the Bible to justify abortion.
Reverend, please respond to the abortion issue in particular.
Well, listen, I have a profound reverence for life and an abiding respect for choice. The question is, whose decision is it? And I happen to think that a patient's room is too small a place for a woman, her doctor, and the U.S. government. I think that's too many people in the room. But those who are concerned about life, and I certainly am, ought to be focused on the incredibly high rates of infant mortality and maternal mortality in our country when compared to other developed nations. That's something the government could work on, and I've been working on it my entire career.
It is amazing. What in the world? What are you saying? You are a pastor. You are the supposed pastor of Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church, and you are saying that you have a reverence for life, but you have a respect for choice? What in the world are you saying, pastor? To totally undermine the authority of God's word, the author of life, God is. We are made in the image of God. He has formed us, he has knit us in our mother's womb, and you're saying that you've got a reverence for life but a respect for choice? What in the world? Pastor, you better reread that Bible. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have you ever seen drawings of dinosaur-like creatures on rock walls left by the Indians?
Yes, Chris, I have seen them, and they are amazing. People from every continent have drawn pictures and fashioned art objects after the likeness of dinosaurs. These predate our modern discovery of dinosaur fossils, proof that man and dinosaur lived together. Evolutionists, of course, dismiss these as fanciful dream tales. They believe that the amazing dinosaurs, with all their internal complexity and the DNA code, could evolve by chance random processes. Maybe it's easier to think that wind and water erosion produced these dinosaur pictographs on the rocks. I'm being fanciful, of course. But at least the Back to Genesis viewpoint is consistent within itself.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're calling today's program, What in the World? Because that's often a phrase that is given, implemented, when we hear something that's outrageous, maybe angering, maybe even disgusting. But today I'm sharing a series of stories that, in my opinion, really fall under this category. And I'm hoping that many of you, too, are invoking that response, what in the world? I mean, can we understand how we have so decayed morally as a nation? But that's what happens when we turn our back on God. I mean, when we have a pastor now that who likes to quote scripture, but talks about this having a reverence for life and a respect for choice. I want to share another story with you from LifeSiteNews.com. And that is House Democrats and their witnesses at an Appropriations Committee hearing. This happened Tuesday of this week. Characterized the Hyde Amendment, which prohibits the federal government from funding abortions. They characterized the Hyde Amendment as clearly racist. The Hyde Amendment prevents federal funding of abortions except to save the life of the woman or in the case of incest or rape. It was passed in 1976, was upheld by the Supreme Court in a 1980 ruling. The Hyde Amendment, which is a budget provision, has been passed every single year, no matter who the president is, no matter what the party or the party in control of Congress, the Hyde Amendment has passed. Now, both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, who were pro-abortion presidents, signed appropriations bills that included the Hyde Amendment. But Chairwoman Nita Lowry of New York on the House Committee on Appropriations called for the Hyde Amendment to be removed completely, saying, quote, it deserves to be in the dustbin of history, the dustbin of history with other policies that were designed to limit the rights of the powerless. Now, before I go on with this story, who is more powerless than an unborn baby in the womb? And here she is saying that this needs to be put in the dustbin of history with other policies designed to limit the rights of the powerless. That baby does not have that voice. You have the voice for that baby. Well, chairing the hearing, Congresswoman Rosa de la Rora of Connecticut said in her opening remarks that the Hyde Amendment is discriminatory, referring particularly to an alleged racist connection. DeLauro said more than half, 58% of the women affected by the Hyde Amendment are women of color. Almost one-third, 31% are black, 27% Latina, nearly one-fifth or 19% Asian Americans and Pacific Islander women, as well as indigenous women also covered by Medicaid. She expressed her concern that without easier access to abortion, women are dropping out of the workforce. Oh, this is terrible. Staying at home. And they're not going back to work. The Hyde Amendment has failed women of color and communities of color to be able to access the health care and the reproductive health care that they need, DeLauro concluded. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, abortion is not health care. Abortion is not health care. Well, her words were supported by Representative Barbara Lee of California, who also called the Hyde Amendment discriminatory against women of low income and women of color. According to the website KlannedParenthood.com, not Planned Parenthood, but Klanned Parenthood, like Ku Klux Klan, a black baby is three times more likely to be killed by abortion than a white baby. What has been done by the killing of black babies in the womb far exceeds anything that came from the KKK. I looked at within the last hour at the website numberofabortions.com. I can't even grasp this number, folks. But since the Roe v. Wade decision of 1973, the number of black babies that have been aborted since Roe are at 18,732,523. And they're saying that it's racist not to allow for the abortions to be taken place using government money for that purpose? They need to wise up and understand that is saving babies of color. And so to those who are saying that the Democrats in Congress calling the pro-life Hyde Amendment clearly racist, I say, what in the world? Here's something else that's interesting on. It's another life-related story. LifeNews.com has this one. Joe Biden says that he will name a radical abortion activist as his health and human services secretary should he defeat President Donald Trump in the presidential election. We say should he defeat, because we know that things are still out there yet. The lawsuits that are going on, this massive lawsuit that President Trump called the big one, that's now filed by initially by the state of Texas and many other states signing on to it. We're talking about the Attorney General of California, Becerra. And some pronounce his name Javier, some Xavier, Becerra, doesn't matter. He's more than just an ardent supporter of abortion. He's actively trying to put David DeLayden and Sandra Merritt in prison. Why? For exposing the Planned Parenthood abortion business sale of baby body parts from aborted babies. Currently, Becerra is prosecuting DeLayden, the Center for Medical Progress journalist who exposed Planned Parenthood's aborted baby body parts trade. DeLayden's powerful expose led to the shutdown of two companies that sold aborted baby body parts in California. And Becerra is pursuing multiple felony charges against him and fellow investigator Sandra Merritt. That's represented by Liberty Counsel. If convicted, the pro-life leaders could be sent to jail on charges of eavesdropping, falsifying documents, and recording people without their consent. Isn't that what Under News Investigation does just about every night you put on your news? Far from uniting the country, Biden has proven yet again he's an extremist on abortion, said SBA List President Marjorie Dannenfelser. Becerra is aggressively pro-abortion and a foe of free speech. But there's something else I wanted to mention to you about Becerra, because when Joe Biden was campaigning for president, he warned that a Medicare for all system would raise middle class taxes. He was against it. As the apparent president elect, they said, Biden has nominated to head Health and Human Services a man who has advocated Medicare for all for decades. Now, the media has crowned him president elect. We don't know that. Media doesn't get to grant that title. The Electoral College has not voted yet. Court cases are pending yet. But there was a Facebook video montage that was posted by Monday of this week, by Americans for Tax Reform, that just juxtaposes comments by Biden warning of the negative tax consequences of Medicare for All with comments by his nominee Becerra calling for just such a system. I want you just to hear this, these comments. You're going to hear one from Becerra. You're going to hear one from Joe Biden. You'll recognize Joe Biden's voice in these. But there are clips, a montage taken from C-SPAN, 60 Minutes, Fox News, MSNBC. Let's listen in.
We need to reform the system.
Becerra.
My solution would have been Medicare for all.
I mean, let's talk about Medicare for all. Do you think there's been any truth in advertising on that? It's going to raise taxes on middle-class people.
Going forward, would you personally support something like what Senator Bernie Sanders has suggested, which would be a Medicare for All plan?
Oh, absolutely. I've been a supporter of Medicare for All for the 24 years that I was in Congress.
You know, in Vermont, they did pass the Affordable Care Act. They did pass Medicare for All. It doubled the income tax of the state. It put a 14% tax on income, withholding tax, and they got rid of it. So the idea that this can be done quickly is just simply not true. Simply not true.
I would scrap all of that and move us toward a system where everyone has access to health care, a single-payer system, a Medicare-for-all system.
What in the world? Here we have all through the campaign, I'm against this Medicare-for-all. It's going to, it's going to be very costly. It's going to raise middle-class taxes. But now, if he's put in as president, he's nominating to be as the head of Health and Human Services, the one who has advocated for quite some time Medicare for all. Another story coming to us from ChristianNews.net. A church in Canada has been fined more than $32,000 for holding drive-in services, which have banned in red COVID zones, has been denied relief from the public health orders that prohibit its activities. These orders necessarily restrict rights in order to prevent death, illness, and overwhelming of the public health system in Manitoba, says the Manitoba Court of Queen's Bench Chief Justice Glenn Joyle ruled on Saturday, according to the CBC. I do not believe that the applicants meet their burden of showing that the church will suffer irreparable harm if the injunction is not granted. Religious gatherings must be held virtually. Well, Springs Church in Winnipeg believes that the ban on drive-in services is unreasonable as church members remain in their cars, their windows are rolled up, they're not in contact with one another, they cannot even get out of their vehicles for any reason, not even to use the restrooms that are in the church. Pastor Leon Fontaine notes that residents are conversely freely allowed to enter their vehicles and walk into the local grocery stores. They can walk into the liquor stores. They can even go to the cannabis stores. He said, we have to ask ourselves why the government has deemed it unsafe for Manitobans to drive to their place of worship with their windows rolled up for the entirety of a service and practice their faith. He noted that other provinces in Canada make allowance for drive-in services. So as Springs Church has been fined now more than $32,000 for holding drive-in services in violation of the COVID restrictions, receiving numerous tickets. He filed, the pastor has filed an injunction. It's a gathering. But it's a gathering with a person self-isolated in their vehicles, he said. However, the justice disagreed, saying the congregation attending in cars are persons, and they are persons who have attended for a common purpose. Attorneys representing the province of Manitoba asserted that the church has provided no evidence that it is more beneficial for the people to listen to the services in their cars than it is for them to stay at home and watch on YouTube or Facebook. And the justice agreed with them. What in the world? It's okay to go do your shopping, interact with other people, get your cannabis, get your liquor, get your groceries. Just don't let it be at a house of worship. By the way, from the DailyWire.com, the Oregon Medical Board has indefinitely revoked a doctor's license after finding that he and his staff refused to wear face coverings during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and encouraged patients visiting his clinic to remove theirs, concluding he is a serious danger to public health. The panel voted on Thursday, this I believe would be, I'm guessing, last Thursday, to issue an emergency suspension determining that Dr. Stephen Latulipe engaged in unprofessional conduct or dishonorable conduct. NBC News notes that the punishment comes weeks after the doctor spoke at a Stop the Steal rally outside the state capitol in Salem on November 7th. The doctor speaking over a microphone downplaying coronavirus as a common cold and condemning mitigation policies ordered by the government officials. The doctor admitted he had not worn a face covering while treating people at his practice and told the crowd, do not let them put you into a state of fear. He said he wants to expose corona mania. Well, he went on to say that he did enforce if somebody had symptoms, they were to wear a mask and coming into his office. The medical board ruled, though, that he constitutes an immediate danger to the public and presents a serious danger to the public health and safety. They suspended his medical license. He's had his license, actually, it's been revoked. Revoked his medical license. In an interview with the Salem Statesman Journal, the doctor said his office has strict coronavirus protocols in place. He's asked symptomatic patients to wear a mask to protect him during examinations. He called on an executive order from the Democratic Governor Kate Brown requiring healthcare professionals to wear face coverings. He called it an illegal mandate. Again, I say, what in the world? We're going to be back in just 1 minute. I've got just a little bit more to share, and then we're going to be opening some phone lines to have you comment on these as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff.
Daddy!
Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny.
Danny, I told you not to talk to Lucian. He'll only hurt you again.
Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for that not only changes his life, but that of others as well.
You may be able to run away from the village, but you can't run away from yourself.
Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, today's program entitled What in the World? As we are carrying a number of stories, I pulled these out of stories for the news roundup for tomorrow. There was just a common thread throughout these. Again, that phrase often said when there is something perhaps rather outrageous or disgusting and perhaps even angering, to ask that question, what in the world? What are you thinking? Wow, how could you come about with such a response or conclusion or action in all of these things? I'd like to just share two more items with you here today, and then we'll take your reaction on the phone lines. But it deals, again, with another COVID-related story, and this is the COVID relief matter that's been going on. We know that there have been attempts, and whether you agree with the measure of another COVID relief package or not is not the issue. But it is the process of what is being taken place. And, you know, the stalemate that has happened in which President Trump, through the urging of others, was putting together a COVID relief package to assist small businesses and others in the area of shutdown and so forth. Again, it's not whether you agree or disagree with that, but listen in here. Well, we had him, President Trump, put forth a bill. I think it was something like $800 or $900 billion and went up to $1.2 trillion. But Nancy Pelosi said, no, it's got to be. And she had one was a $2 trillion. I think one went up to $3 trillion and all of this. And she says, no, you know, she wanted a bailout for states as well. Cities that have just squandered the finances on so many different liberal type programs and have gotten bankrupt through the years. She has been wanting to have this quote unquote COVID relief level the playing field for these governments that have mismanaged their money and to bail them out and to try and make all things equal for them. And the president was in opposition to that, as was those that were in the leadership in the United States Senate. Well, now all of a sudden that the election is over, though we still don't know what the result is going to be, but Nancy Pelosi let the mask slip, reports WesternJournal.com, and Trey Gowdy nailed it. It was a Fox interview Monday that the former South Carolina congressman and federal prosecutor was very upset with Nancy Pelosi after she admitted that she is now open to passing a realistic coronavirus relief package now because she expects former Vice President Joe Biden to be sworn in to the presidency in January. It was a very sharp change from recent months when Pelosi and her colleagues insisted on measures that they knew were unacceptable to Republicans in a transparent effort to delay federal aid to Americans to hurt President Trump at the voting booth. This has simplicity, though, Nancy Pelosi said. Listen to the comments that she made and Trey Gowdy's response.
The need for some COVID relief for the people who really need it, it's been on hold. And Speaker Pelosi today sort of revealed her hand. Watch this.
What was then before was not more of this. This is has simplicity. It's what we've had in our bills. It's for a shorter period of time. But that's okay now because we have a new president.
So it's okay now because there's a new president, Trey?
That's one of the dumbest and also most despicable things I have ever heard an alleged leader say, that because Joe Biden won, it's okay to do it. But if Donald Trump had won, I mean, when you're suffering, when you're like in economic self-defense mode, you don't care about politics. You just want to keep your business going, your family fed. You don't want to be evicted from your home. So the notion that somehow or another, because her team won in November, that she's going to do something. What's missing, Dana, is if Paul Ryan or John Boehner had said or done what she just said, there would be media outcry. And other than Fox, what other entity has commented on what the Speaker of the House just said? Because Biden won, we'll do it. But while it was Trump, we weren't going to give him a victory. I mean, it really is so outrageous.
Yeah, what in the world? I mean, where has the media been pointing out this aspect? Nancy Pelosi, who blocked and blocked and blocked the coronavirus relief bills for small businesses and so forth. But now it's okay because we have a different president. Interesting. Let me share one last story with you here today. Do you enjoy putting a piece of cheese on a Ritz cracker? Ritz crackers, this is from AFA.net. Ritz crackers is attempting to normalize the transgender lifestyle by airing a commercial that has absolutely nothing to do with selling crackers. The company's most recent ad features a man putting on lipstick. The ad campaign is titled, Where There's Love, There's Family. It's been airing on HGTV. It's featured on Ritz's YouTube page. They report that the company's goal is to redefine family as something other than God's biblical design for gender and sexuality. In its own words, Ritz says this, we're encouraging people to rethink what it means to be family. I guess that's how they use their profits from their product. Getting people, encouraging people to rethink what it means to be family. The negative blowback, they report, against Ritz has been so bad that the company has removed the ad promotion from its Facebook page and disabled comments on the YouTube page. However, the ad is still there. The company is collaborating with that It Gets Better project. It's an LGBTQ plus program directed at promoting homosexuality and transgenderism to youth. Ritz's website states that it's also donating $50,000 to help advance the LGBTQ plus agenda. What in the world? Our phone number to Crosstalk today, if you'd like to comment on these, or maybe you've got a what's in the world, a what in the world story, our phone number here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Again, as we're gathering things through the week here for the news roundup, and this common theme coming through on so many, it just, you saw some of these stories, said, what in the world? What are they thinking? What's going on here? You know, how is this getting by? And now we have Ritz crackers that many families, acquiring these at Christmas time to enjoy with the squirty cheese or whatever it is you put on there. And now they are evidently, I say evidently because it costs money to make commercials like this. And they're on a campaign. We're encouraging people to rethink what it means to be family. I'm looking right there at the website where they have that as well from Ritz. Ritz is on a mission to help make the world a more welcoming place. That's why we're partnering with the It Gets Better project. Hispanic Star and Invisible People by donating $50,000 to help support communities in need this season. The It Gets Better project aims to uplift, empower, and connect LGBTQ plus youth by providing access to a collection of inspiring stories of resilience and determination as told by members of the LGBTQ plus community. They envision a world where all LGBTQ plus youth are free to live equally and know their worthiness and power as individuals. What in the world? Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We have Tom calling in from Sturtevant, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just trying to figure out why we're even entertaining any of this, shutting down churches in California and all this stuff. This is a Christian nation. Why are we allowing any of this? It shouldn't even be feasible.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Aaron in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm pretty much just, you're talking about what in the world, and I have a 6-year-old little sister.
Yeah.
One day she was watching Biden and Trump, and she pretty much, she doesn't know anything about politics or anything, and she was like, it's kind of surprised me. She was like, Trump has a lot of good in him, but he also does bad things. But Biden, you could tell he's very evil. That, and I also want to encourage the youth. Right now, it's time to go out there and war, go out for war like Joshua, like King David, and preach our King's name, Jesus Christ. He is getting ready to return soon, and right now is the time to go and snatch souls away from Satan's hands, because right now we are in dangerous times, and I encourage the youth, the strong and powerful young men, to go out there and preach the word. Yeah. So that's kind of my word.
Right? Thank you, and I get what you mean by war, because it's a spiritual battle, and to preach the word. The battle is not flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. It's against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you, Aaron. Fred in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to mention that it's bad about aborted babies, but what I found out over the recent years on the life chain line is that a lot of the people standing up in protest for them are not saved themselves, and they don't know or have heard the gospel of salvation, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And that's sad that there's so many out there on the line for those days, and of course beyond that, in their churches or not, that haven't heard the gospel. We need to get the gospel out. That's part of why things are the way they are. Get people moving and telling people.
Oh, indeed, and I trust, Fred, that you're active in doing so. Thank you for the call. Don in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
What in the world? Where to begin, Jim? I'm commenting about the person that said, make them, that's us, Republicans, the Trumpeters, make them pay. Deuteronomy 7, 9, and 10 said God will repay them to their face, haters of God, abortionists, etc. They claim, the left, that they're serving God. These are worldly soldiers. They're haters of God. They're liars. They're revolutionists. And they need to be born again so God can use them properly. Or, I don't know, I'm kind of stumbling here, but you get my drift.
Yeah, thank you, Don. Russell in St. Mary's, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Yeah, Trump derangement syndrome is real, as if you couldn't tell by that representative in Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, where she is making the allegation, or actually giving the command, calling on the soldiers to make Trump supporters pay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them out there, too, just like her.
Thank you, Russell, for your thoughts. Dean in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a comment about Trump. Before the election, the media had at least 80% more commercials about Biden than they did about Trump, and that's discriminating against Donald Trump.
Well, the candidates pay for those spots, so it is the, but what we could say, their coverage of the Trump campaign was 90-some percent negative. We had the numbers earlier this week, whereas it was 60-some percent positive for Joe Biden. But the actual purchasing of the communications, the commercial spots, come from campaigns themselves.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Brad, West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I just want to address that false teacher, false pastor in Georgia running for Senate.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter what he said. He has to go back and read his Bible. The sixth commandment says, thou shalt not murder. And Jesus, in Matthew 19:18, was telling someone, thou shalt do no murder. What does he think that means? When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus didn't understand being born again, Jesus said, you're a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? If you don't understand the earthly things, how are you going to get the heavenly things right?
Yeah, right.
Same thing applies here. If this guy can't get murdering right, how is he going to get the gospel right? He's a false teacher. If you go to that church, run like the wind.
Yeah, I just don't get this, the reverence for life and a respect for choice. And he is one that is trying to win that U.S. Senate seat for the state of Georgia.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he's leaning more towards choice than he is towards what anything God has to say.
Thank you for the call here, Brad.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we are up against a break, so we'll take the break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Our program today is entitled, What in the World? We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The other night, we broke on our live national television show the story of Mary Fanning and Alan Jones. They are national security authors and researchers, and they're reporting from firsthand knowledge that Fox News knew about the Hammer and Scorecard software that could be used to steal an election. Well, reportedly, Fox News knew about this as far back as 2013. They report that Carl Cameron actually went and traveled and met with the man who wrote the software, Dennis Montgomery, spent a week with a film crew filming his computer as he demonstrated how an election could be stolen. Why has Fox News sat on this since 2013, according to their report? Does this help us understand why Fox News flipped on the night of the election? Or did they just publicly flip? Maybe they flipped a long time ago. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, kind of a unique program today called What in the World? And to give you an opportunity to respond, we carried just a number of stories here today, and also giving you an opportunity in on the issue. We're going to Phoenix, Arizona. We have Bill calling next. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I want to make a comment about this Democratic candidate in Georgia who's running against Kelly Loeffler. As your previous caller said, this guy can, he does not read the same Bible that belongs to God Almighty, where he keeps claiming to her that you cannot serve two masters, and talking about the military. When did or not our King David slay Goliath in the valley and fought in a war for God's honor?
Mm-hmm.
And so this false prophet, this false teacher of God's word, I do not believe God is going to let him get elected, because God will not allow somebody to use his gospel for a false agenda. So let's pray for Kelly. Let's pray for Georgia. Pray for America. And God bless you.
Thank you, Bill. And we're losing you here right now on the phone, cutting out there. But I'll say that there are other politicians in place who believe that very same thing, sad to say. We have next Minneapolis, and Alexis, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a transgender girl, and I'm totally pro-Trump. I think most transgender people are idiots and out of control. The agenda they're pushing is just going to do nothing but push us back to where, like, transgender people aren't accepted anymore because they all act like idiots. It's so hard to meet anybody who's transgender that has any common sense. It's
well, Alex, yeah, I guess even though, I mean, you're claiming to be transgender, but God didn't make you that way.
God. Well, I know he's not. I know he didn't, but I mean, I'm also not doing any harm, though. I mean, I don't claim to be a real girl. I'm just a guy who enjoys wearing girl clothes, really. I mean, any way you want to look at it, I know Jesus loved me, regardless.
Jesus does, but he wants us to, yeah, but he designed you as a male. He designed you as a man,
yeah,
Alex.
But I still have, you know, male stuff down there, so what's the difference?
Well,
I just enjoy wearing women's clothes.
Yeah,
and I don't claim to be one. I'm definitely not competing in women's sports either.
And I appreciate you're taking some positions there, but understand that we honor God through the way that God made us as well. He made you as male.
I honor God too, though. My dad's dad was a Christian missionary in Japan, and I don't know. I don't know if you guys know what a real loving God is.
I know, because here's what God told us in His Word. This is what God told us in His Word in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, "Know this also, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." He said, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you've been sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." God calls you not to be effeminate here, Alexis.
Yeah, but you do.
No, don't say the word but. Yeah,
no,
but
we don't get to read all of the Bible. There's a lot of the Bible we don't get. Why is that? Why don't we get to read the whole Bible?
Well, we do read the whole Bible.
Why do they keep some chapters from
us? We do read the whole Bible.
Are you sure about that?
Absolutely.
The Catholic Church has tons of chapters we're not allowed to see. Come on now.
I can't tell. I know what the Bible is, and it has been the inspired word of God, and we have canons that have been approved of Scripture. So you're changing the debate on all this, but Alexis, we've got the inspired word of God. I encourage you to open it You read it, what it says in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as well. And find redemption that's in Christ Jesus. But I just want to say to you again, Alexis, God did not make you that way. Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Dave in Superior. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you so much, Jim. I want to talk about communism for a moment, but first I want to lift Alex up in prayer and that he would come to the foot of the cross and realize how the Lord made him and become saved by his beautiful blood that he shed on the cross for us, because Alex is in trouble right now, in my opinion.
Indeed. And there's salvation that's available through Christ. He is a loving, he loved Alex so much, as he did me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's me, that's him, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
I agree, in Jesus' name. Listen, this should be a no-brainer for all believers, especially, but it should be for anyone who believes in the nation that we have that was founded with the Constitution. And it's a real simple thing. McCarthyism started to take a close look at communism in the nation, and it fell out of favor because it kind of created a frenzy and fear among the people back before I was born and in that time. There was a lot going on. There was a Red Scare. There was a Bolshevik Revolution before that in 2017.
Dave, we're going to have to get right to your point because we're almost out of time here.
Well, we got to pray against the movement of communism in this country, and get out all the information you can. The web is full of it. People are full of stuff, and be with like-minded Christians because we've got to push this back. It is a fight for our lives. Amen. And we can do it through prayer. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Dave. And I refer folk back to our programs on socialism with Bill Federer and the book by Erwin Lutzer. They still have it at the VCY bookstore, 50% off. We will not be silenced. One final call here, Marinette, Wisconsin. And let's see, Denise, you're on the air.
Yep, just a quick call. I was on GTV watching a pretty simple home renovation show.
Yeah.
And I did see the ad for Ritz Cracker, and I am telling you, I almost fell out of my chair. And this is what I'm going to suggest. Number one, and I hope Alex is listening, I have a grandson, step-grandson, who is in a homosexual relationship. We love you. Christ loves you. But the point with the Ritz Cracker is they should be selling crackers and not selling their definition of the family. So my suggestion, make a quick call to Nabisco headquarters in New Jersey. I have the number, 1-855-535-5648, and ask for the corporate marketing department.
Denise, thank you. I'm completely out of time. Our theme close is already airing. Thank you for the call. We did get you on there, though, with that number. Friends, continue. Keep your eyes in the Word of God and look heavenward. Let's continue to keep this nation in prayer.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.